God in prayer and ask for his blessing. Our Father, thank you that we can come to you in our prayers. You see our hearts, you see our minds, you know everything about us. Before we get up or sit down, you see us and you know our thoughts. Father, I pray that you bless your word, that you'll bless us through your word, and that you'll speak to us and open our minds and our hearts to receive your truth. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. We just read a great example of Paul for the Church of Christ. There's so many things that we can learn from this text. That there are so many ways that we can study this text. But the theme was given that the Holy Spirit has made the elders overseers of the Church of God. So our main direction would go in this direction, that who are the elders of the Church? What should they do, and their responsibility and accountability before the Holy Spirit and God? We will see it in the example of Paul, of his life, how he lived, how he preached, how he spent his time there in Ephesus. We just read that it was 3 years. He was preaching there night and day. And with tears, with affection. He was passionate about the work that he was doing there. Actually, it's quite a challenge for me to speak about this text because I myself not an elder, and I cannot speak about my own experience. And as well, as far as I know, you don't have as well elders in the church. But it doesn't change the matter that we have to come to every passage of the Bible and try to understand its meaning. Whether it has something to say to our church or it has something to say to my private life, I have just to apply this teaching into my life, whether I want it or not. And it should be our ambition of every church, of every individual, to come to God's word and see ourselves as in mirror. This text has to say a lot about God's plan of building his church. And he is using his methods. He is an architect. He builds this tremendous building that we cannot see now at present, but we'll see it one day in eternity. The Church of Christ is not an organization, and we cannot compare what is going on in the church to a simple company or to a school, and just to say how it is there and it should go, it should be the same in the church. It's not like in a sport or like in a hobby or culture, or just where the people come together and have some common interests and they speak about it, spend some time together and go home. The Church of Christ is much more than that. It is the body of Christ. And he builds it up in the way he wants it to see. And what is interesting to see as well in this text, that whole Trinity of God is involved in this work. God the Father, he loves the church, and he sends his only Son to die on the cross for the sins of the individuals of the church. And we see as well how the Holy Spirit comes as well and do his part in the work of the church. He applies the work of Christ to every individual. He just brings it home. He gives a new birth, and he convinces people in that the words that they hear are true words. We have to remember that we are the children of our time. We are the children of our culture. We are very much influenced by the things that are going on in the world. And we take some parts from the world and bring them in the church, and we say, oh, it functions. It helps to function in the church, but we have to see whether it is the case, whether it should be done in that way. We can say, oh, well, we live in different time. There are 2,000 years passed by, and we have to change the model how the church should function. We can say we have a different situation now. We can say we have no right people to be elders in the church. Or we might say that because there's so many difficulties with choosing and appointing the elders, that we just should leave it. Or maybe there were some difficulties in the past with the elders, and we just don't want to repeat it all over again. Or it's better to involve as many people as possible in this work of leading the church, and that it might be as well a good idea. But actually, when we all see it, the work or the call of the elders is to prepare the Christ people for the service, to make every Christian individual mature in Christ, that he'll be more like Jesus. Just sadly that we see many things from our human point of view, and we just think that it might be a good idea to bring some ideas in the church. But we have to see it from God's perspective, in the way that he sees it. He builds the church for the whole eternity. It's a bride of Christ, and he has a special plan for it. And he has to protect the church, and he has to feed the church, and the church has to grow, and the church has to be strong, and the church has to go out and to testify about their faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, it might be that there was in some churches we have some bad experience of the elders, that they misused their power. They saw themselves like bosses. But it was not the right picture of an elder. God wants to bless the church. He wants to see the church flourish. He wants to see the church grow. And he left his word. And when we obey his word and follow what it says there, then it will come and bring fruit. He has so many blessings to give. Are we ready to receive it? Are we ready to follow it? Maybe it's our ambition to come to God's word and try to understand it and try to follow it, to apply it into our lives. As I said, it's quite often we just try to compare the elder of the church to a boss in one company who runs the business. But it's not the case. Maybe there are some areas where they overlap with each other, and they're very similar, that they take responsibility over the church as well as the boss take a responsibility after or over his company. But in all, there's big areas where they have nothing to do with each other. An elder is the one, as we all see, who has a passion for Christ. The elder is the one who is led by the Holy Spirit. An elder is the one who is going to do the work that nobody else wants to do. He has to do, as to say, a dirty job. He has to go and speak to people and confront them. And as Paul did, he had to shed his tears as well. Try to understand where the people are. Just help them to fight certain sins, that the people just won't have victory in their spiritual life. We're going to see that Apostle Paul is just such a tremendous example for us. There's so many things that we can learn from him. He is not just an elder, he is a missionary, he is an evangelist, he is an apostle. And he had so clear before him the focus, where to run, where to go. And he wanted to complete it till the end. Let us look at first at the example of Apostle Paul. We have to mention first the context that we just read. When Luke wrote about this event, he presents Paul, who is on his way to Jerusalem. It's interesting that there are some comparisons with our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Luke, we read again and again that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, to die there on the cross. Why Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem, we don't know exactly. But it seems as he wanted to convince the Jews. It was a hard, as to say, a hard potato to go there. It was hard to just to speak to people, to show them who Jesus is. And he knew that who is going there, maybe he'll never go out. He'll be stoned, or he might be even crucified. And it's quite a dangerous place to go. And the Holy Spirit, on the one hand, he's calling him to go there, and on the other hand, he tells him that he's going to face hardship there. But nevertheless, Paul decides, and he wants to go to Jerusalem. But on the way to Jerusalem, like his final destination, he thinks about the church in Ephesus, that he worked there for 3 years. He knew the people so well that he just cannot go pass by. But he didn't want to go direct to Ephesus to spend 3 days on the way, there and back. So what he does, he makes arrangements, and he calls that the elders of Ephesus, they will come one way to Miletus, and they could spend some time there, and he can speak to them. As we know, this is their last meeting together. He said, we are not going to see each other again. And when the people know that they meet the last time, they try to make use of it. They speak about the things that are most important. They speak about the things that are most essential. They make arrangements about their maybe money or about their inheritance or about the certain things. Who is going to run their business, or he'll take over, and what if in the future will happen that and that. We don't know what is going to happen, but you have to be careful. And so they make their own arrangements. They give the instructions. And something similar Paul is doing here. He tells them about that, what is going to happen in the church in Ephesus. We read in the book of Revelation about the church in Ephesus that they were fighting for the truth of Christ, and they could oppose some false teachers, but on their way they lost their love to Jesus. And in this text, in this example of Apostle Paul, we see how he shows two aspects in his ministry that they go together. That is the love towards Christ and towards his people, towards his church, and as well the truth to be faithful to God and to give the right message, to give right words to the people. This somehow characterizes his whole ministry. Let's look as well at the life of Apostle Paul. First, what we see in his ministry is his personal life, his affections. You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from first day I came. So the life that he lived, it was like an open letter to the Ephesians. Everyone could come and see what Paul is doing, what Paul is look like when he is at home, whether he is still passionate about people. And quite often, the people, what they need, not strong words, what they need, are strong examples. And that what we find as well in the church when we do the work with children. Yes, they do understand what you say, but they want to follow your example. And in the church, it's vital to have good examples of those who would come and stay in the front, of those who will come for the prayer meeting, of those who will come and care for the people, and that they will see an example of the love of Christ. That the Holy Spirit is leading him, and he says, I want to be like him, as Paul was similar like Jesus Christ. He was following the ambition of Jesus Christ. And the church needs good examples. And let us see how the Paul served his life. He served in the church with great humility. There was so much to offer. Apostle Paul, he was a great teacher. He studied the Bible. He knew it so well. He was a Pharisee. There's so many good points that he could mention. But what he tells, I was serving you with great humility and tears. All what I achieved, it was just for nothing. All what I have now is to run the race and to do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts himself on the background as not important at all. What is important is Holy Spirit and his work. As in verse 24, he says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Another point that you can see in his life is the passion for people. We can see it in him shedding the tears. Who in our days will cry with somebody, will show their tears? Probably it's a bit different. In our culture, it's a bit different, and you don't have to show your weak parts. But what we can learn and see is his compassion for the people. For him, it was not the main idea just to preach and show it what you do, it's your thing. No, he wants that the word of God will come in the life of people, in the lives of people, that they'll just really understand it. And if it doesn't just function, if it just doesn't work, they don't have to try again and again. And maybe they felt again in sin and he has to cry with them. His passion was so great. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, he writes, as my dear, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Those who have experience of a good father in their family, they can follow it, they can understand it. And those who had not so good, it probably is a bit hard. But he was like a father who cared for his church, for Christ's flock. It means that he was not just teaching and saying you should be like this. No, he went to on the same level. And he took the people with him and explained it again and again and maybe gave something what they wanted. Spend time with them. An elder should be as well a father in the church. That people who just with their problems will come to him and say, let us pray together. I trust you. I know that you can help me. And maybe they just need to spend some time and open themselves before they go out into the world and open their problems somewhere else and they get some wrong help. So it was a great humility. It was a great passion for the people. And his preaching was as well great. He was on the one hand, like, with the people, and on the other hand, he was with God. He's saying that I preach to you the whole message or the whole counsel of God. I did not preach you about the things that you wanted to hear, but the things that you needed to hear. If you just give the kids, the children, to eat what they want, they'll eat probably just the white bread and Nutella and maybe something like that. But you have to give them a proper food, that they'll have to know how the vegetables they taste like and fruit and so on. Just think about their life, about their health, and that they will be strong enough to resist their all kind of diseases. So the Paul prepared the people, preached the whole counsel of Christ, and everything what they needed to hear. And as well, what is interesting, he is comparing himself with an watchman from the Old Testament, from the book of Ezekiel, and tells to his people that he is innocent of the blood of all men. His conscience was clean, that he did not. He explained to almost to everyone about the way of salvation, about the consequences, about the punishment for sin. And he was just like a stain there on the tower and looking if the danger is coming, and he was just shouting, there is a danger. You have to flee. You have to rescue yourself. And so Paul did it. And it should be as well an example for an elder to be like an watchman who is looking in the night, and if he sees that there is danger is approaching, he has to cry, to shout. And lastly, what is an Apostle Paul example, it was his focus. His focus to run the race and to complete it. He had a certain goal before him, to finish the race and complete the task. Paul compares himself to a sportsman who runs, who strives who, from all his strength to achieve the goal. In 1 Corinthians, he writes about the same subject in 9:22. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. In achieving his goal, running like a marathon, he was seeing that to bring everyone to the goal, to present everyone like complete in Christ, that they should grow and be followers of Christ. In verse 22, he says, "And now I am compelled by the Spirit. I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." The Holy Spirit is leading him, pointing him, and showing him. And in running his marathon, he has to be attentive to many things and to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who tells him to run to the left or to the right, to do it in the way the Holy Spirit wants him to run. The Church of God, it's not our organization. And often we do not know what God wants to do next. And that's why it's very important that there are those spiritual leaders who know what God wants to do next. They have to spend the time in prayer, a time with God, and to know about the certain steps that they have to take. Maybe the 1 year or two, it's going not to work well. But from a Lord perspective, it's God's plan. God wants it to do. As Jesus once said to the 70 disciples, as 70 disciples left him, he said to his 12, "Do you not want to go as well, like they did?" Yeah, you could say, "Oh, what are you doing? The people are leaving you." No, Jesus said, saw it from a long-time perspective. And it should be like that. I just mentioned the role of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of elders. It's not easy to put in few sentences about such a tremendous work of the Holy Spirit in the work of the elder, elder's life in his ministry. Because of our limitations, we have to do that. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he is God. Quite often, the people see him just as the power that I can use it for my own goals. But it's just a complete misuse of the work of the Holy Spirit. We just have to hear the Holy Spirit, that where he's leading. We know that the Holy Spirit was present at the creation of the universe. He was there together with God. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was like speaking to people, to the prophets of God, revealing them the truth of God and about the future. And when Jesus came, he was born as well from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit appointed him, anointed him for the service that he was doing. And as he was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the day of Pentecost, it's as well the product of the Holy Spirit. And a new start for the church. The Holy Spirit is there, and he is very much involved in the work of the church up till this moment. He cares after the church. He sees where the needs are. He brings the new people in the church, and he gives them certain different gifts for the service in the church. Yeah, we have to be careful when we speak about the Holy Spirit. It's not just a power, it's God, it's deity, and it's a person. We cannot manipulate the Holy Spirit. We cannot take and show that what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's a completely different idea. Paul hears what the Holy Spirit is saying. And maybe he didn't want that much, but he knew that it's important and he wants to go to Jerusalem. Verse 24, the Holy Spirit as well provides for the church. 28, keep watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. I'm pointing the elders. We know just the process of people, just electing, just choosing, thinking, praying, who could do this work. But after all, it is the Holy Spirit who anoints and appoints the people for this service. And he gives them as well different gifts for this service. Maybe some gifts that they did not have before. But now, as they are doing it for Christ, they can do it much better. They can do it, spend much more time. Before, they didn't have interest as well, maybe in reading the Bible, or they to study in that way. And now they understand and they give it to other people. And as well, a comparison here with the shepherds. It's not, a shepherd is not that a very good job to choose. It's a hard job. They had to look after the needs of sheep when the sheep would get ill, or maybe there is to protect them from the wolves. And the shepherds, the elders, are compared to shepherds. They are looking after the flock of Christ. And as well, what we read here, that the Church of Christ was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. It was precious in God's sight, and he cannot just see that people are indifferent towards the believers, towards the people in the church. In Paul writes in Ephesians 4:11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the Holy Spirit gives gifts to the people for the service that they are doing. And he is working in the church, and he is working in the life of the elders, making them as well more like Jesus Christ. Just at the conclusion, I want to pay attention to the elders. Just after seeing who Paul was and how he did his ministry, we have to point out how the elders should be. We have noticed that Paul uses different names. He uses the name like overseers, like a shepherd, like an elder, somewhere elders, bishops, but it's from different places. They mean the same thing. The one who just takes responsibility over the flock of God. In Acts 14:23, Luke writes about how Paul and Barnabas went to every church that there was and appointed the elders because they saw that it's important for the life of the church. It's God's way, and we have to see it like that and take it and say how can we apply it in our church. The elders are there to feed the flock and to protect them from dangers, from the false teachers. An elder should be a spiritually minded person, that to go together with the Holy Spirit, to be attentive to the words of God, and where he just went too far, and when he done something wrong, as Paul admit humbly, "Oh, it's my mistake." It's interesting how as well in the Apostle, how in the Acts 13:12, how the church was praying and spending time together and fasting, how the Holy Spirit comes and tells them, give me Barnabas and Paul for the service. So after they have fasted and prayed, they place their hands on them and they send them off. When the Holy Spirit sees that there are those people, they are ready for this service, he'll make it sure, he'll make it clear. It just depends from the approach of the church, how they look, how they ask for it. There is a responsibility of the church to spend time with God, seeking his guidance for the church, to pray for him that he should show who are the right men for this service, who are the perfect candidates to do this. It might be that they're not perfect, as there is no perfect church in the world, but maybe when there are two or three of them who are spiritually minded, then just they just complement each other's needs. And one is maybe strong in one point and the other is maybe is stronger in teaching, the other in looking after the people. And in this way, they can, as one body, look after the body of Christ. In the Paul's letters to Timothy and to Titus, Paul writes exactly about the qualities of an elder. We're not going into that. There's enough to read and to think about it, and there's how the elder should be or who is he. And the elder, he has to love not his position, but to love the people of Christ, to have this passion for the people that Paul had, that just to spend time with them, to pray with them, and maybe to shed his tears. And as Paul, he was preaching publicly, and he was going from house to house. Not the pastors or the elder service is not after the preaching ended. It's when the people go home. And then they start to apply it. He has to go and ask how they are, whether they can manage it, whether they understood it correctly. It's quite a demanding job, but someone has to do it. To protect the sheep from the danger of darkness. We know that the devil is trying to, like the wolf, to take the sheep apart, to cause division, to cause problems. And it's a spiritual fight, and for spiritual fight, they need to be a spiritually minded people, elders, who just stay there between the sheep and the wolves. The word of God should be proclaimed clearly, and the people should try to apply it in their lives. Pastors, elders' ambition should be not just to preach the words, but to see how the words of God, they change their people's lives, that they really understood it. And that's what Paul did with the elders, how the church was built in Ephesus. The elders are those who come to the front and show that they are not indifferent to that what is going on, that somebody is weak, that somebody needs help, that some people go away from the church. They just have to run after them and to speak to them and to apply this, as Paul did, the message of Christ. The Holy Spirit has entrusted the shepherds for this service, and he gives strength for that. As somebody said, if God gives me this duty, then he'll give me strength to do it, and he does it. What the elders should do, they should be responsible and accountable for their work. It's not their work, it's the body of Christ. And they just have to help, to look after, and to be a worker who takes part in it. Well, I wish that you as the church and I will see clearly what it here, what this text means. That we'll just try to understand it and as well to apply it into our lives. That there is elders would recognize the responsibility and accountability. And it's the most important work in this world, to prepare the people for the eternity. When we are there with Jesus, everything else what we have done in one moment will have no importance at all. Whether we were doctors, whether we were just the normal workers, whether we were just working, writing programs, it doesn't matter. What is matter, how many souls, how many people you could lead to Christ, and that they can be in his presence. How many people we could help to understand the message of the cross, the message of Jesus, and that they can be together with Jesus. Let us have a similar ambition as Paul had, to run the race, and maybe it not to be an elder, but to pray for the one, or to be a spiritual-minded people, and just try to read the Bible and understand it, and support those who can do this work. Because everything starts with a prayer. When we pray, God acts. And he acted in your church, and he acts everywhere. And the more, if you want to see God, that he'll bring more fruit, then we have to keep close to his word, and he'll do that. Amen.